Just going to direct you to the verse, Deuteronomy 5:29. So we've been reading again through God's word, and we come to Deuteronomy. And the instruction really of Moses to the people as they're about to enter into the land now, which God had prepared them to enter in 40 years earlier, but now they're about to enter in. And I just wanted to say, I've been trying to think about that generation that really developed during those 40 years. You know, at Kadesh Barnea, they said, we can't go in, and our little ones would be a prey, our young ones. And the Lord told them, your little ones that you're concerned about, they're the ones that are going to go in. And I've been trying to think the difference of a generation that came out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, and those at Kadesh Barnea, that they didn't have enough confidence in God that they could go in. They would wander in the wilderness 40 years, and those that were 20 and older would die off in the wilderness. And then their kids would go in, the young people that came out of Egypt. Some of them, you know, now they're 19 and 40, they're 59 years old, and they're not just kids anymore. But they, through that time, somehow, in God's being with them in the wilderness and taking care of them, were of a faith that they could believe God and go in. But anyway, Moses is preparing the people for what I want to just share, why I believe about what's typical of the victorious Christian life. Now, he is giving them instruction for going in and taking the land, but I want to share in a minute that it really is a picture for what we ought to be doing and living the victorious life. I somehow coming across Deuteronomy 5:29 just resonated afresh to me, the heart of God, and I just want to somehow communicate this matter of his heart toward us and toward our generations after us. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Really displays God's heart, that they would just do what I've asked them to do, and to live how I've asked them to live. Now, all of God's word is God-breathed. I remind you of one of our verses in February, Isaiah 55:11, where God said, he has said that as rain comes down from heaven and the snow and it waters the earth and it makes it bring forth and bud and give sowed seed to the sower and bread to the eater, he said, that's my kindness in providing for you. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I've sent it. So in a special way, all of God's word is from him and God breathed, but it just seems so special to me that in the midst of Moses sharing here, they hear directly from God. Oh, that there would be such a heart in them that they'd fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And one of the ongoing concerns that I just want to address is this matter of being concerned beyond your own generation, beyond your own life, that you would have a generation that continues, a heritage that continues to walk with the Lord and love him and serve him. And that was really, clearly, it's on God's heart. So you have, I think, a real picture. God has his pictures. But in Egypt, God referred to that as the iron furnace. They were under bondage. Of course, Joseph went down there and spared not only the Egyptians, but his own family through a terrible time of famine. A new Pharaoh rose up that didn't know them, and they were fearful. They saw this Israelite people is growing so quickly, and they made them into slaves. And so God had told Abraham back in Genesis that they were going to be for 400 years in this land that's not theirs, in slavery. And so they were God's people. He foreknew them as his people, but in a real way, it became a picture of breaking out of the old life through the Passover, the pointing to the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. And so they came out. God prepared them to live for him. He prepared them by showing them mighty works in Egypt and all the wonders that he performed there, judging the gods of Egypt, and then bringing them out through the death of the firstborn, that they then were driving them out. If they weren't in their homes under the blood, the angel of death would take the firstborn of the family, and they'd had it then. Took him across the Red Sea. He showed them mighty miracles, and he gave him the word, gave him the commandments. He gave him instruction, and after some months, took them up to Kadesh Barnea. God had given them the promise through Moses. I will be with you. I'll be your God. I will bring you out, and I will bring you in, that you may have the land. They had that word. They had heard that word. And you know the story. 12 spies went in to look over the land. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we're well able to go in. The other 10 just discouraged the people. We can't do it. And I, even in Sunday school, just trying to think through what it must have seemed like. We're going to go in and take a land and capture it and claim it as our own. As I said, there's no welcome signs in there. They say, we can't do it. We won't do it. And so their 40 years in the wilderness and really is a picture, I believe, of carnality, the Christian carnal life, that you're out, but you're not in. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. And that's kind of where they were. They, in the carnal life, you're not experiencing the victories that God intends that are pictured when they go into the land. He takes care of you. Those children growing up, they saw the fiery pillar by night, the cloud by day, and God was with them, and he gave them water when they needed water. They never were very happy. They weren't very satisfied with the menu. And it's just a picture of the carnal life and not the kind of life God wants us to be living as Christians. He wanted them to go in, to have the land, to see him at work in there. And so I believe that really going across Jordan into the land and taking the land by God's power, by his work through them, was really the victorious Christian life. So I see really all of Moses' instruction, all of his encouragement, all of God's encouragement through him was how to live that land. And I taught, Don was talking about it in Sunday school and how he called Joshua to go in, that he would be with him. And I think it's pretty neat how the angel or the angel of the Lord or the servant of the Lord met Joshua outside of Jericho and let him know, really, I'm here to take over. The victorious life is really Christ living through you and you depending on him and walking with him. And so this is what Deuteronomy is really filled with instruction. The bottom line that I guess I want to remind us of is that God is a blesser. He so desires to bless. It's on his heart to bless. And that's why he says, oh, that there is such a heart in them to follow me, to fear me. And to fear me, really, to fear God, is to walk with him, to know his eyes are upon you, that you're going to be obedient to him, and that you're trusting in him, and that you're doing what he says. over and over again, you have the promise that I'm going to be with you, I'm going to bless you, and he always adds this, and to your generations after you. God is concerned not only that we walk with him, but that the generations after us will follow him. In Hebrews 3 and 4, and also Psalm 95, when they go in, this generation now that grew up, and they're going to go across into the land and take the land, God calls that rest, which is, we need to think that through. It is my rest. We looked at some of those passages there in Hebrews that we need to enter into his rest where we're allowing him to do it. And I guess to me, one of the great things, reminders on how to do that is in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What he's saying, you have struggles in your life. You have things that are hard. You have things that need to be done. But he said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's when he then says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest to your souls. I believe, to me, it's an ongoing picture of the kind of life God wants every Christian to live. Independence on him. You yoke up with him, and he's going to do it through you. He's also pictured that in John 15, in the vine and the branches, that we abide in him, and it's we can do nothing of ourselves, but that he will work through us. And that's what he was showing Joshua when he went in there. Really, Joshua's by Jericho, and he's flesh and blood. He had to be kind of overwhelmed, and he believed God. He believed him 40 years earlier. We can do it. But it's some kind of task. And so that's when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and I'm here with the host of the Lord to take over. And that's what God wants to do. And I think that is the essence of the victorious life, but some of the instruction that comes there, how to live it and continue to live it and not quit, not fall away, don't turn away. in this matter of him wanting to bless in our lives, we're right at Deuteronomy 28, and it's pretty interesting. This whole 28th chapter has 68 verses. Verse 1 through 14 says, if you'll trust me, if you'll walk in my ways, these blessings will run you down. almost that way in King James. They're going to overtake you. My blessings will overtake you. So there's 14 verses, and he tells what the blessings would be like in the land if they will just follow him, do what he asks them to do, serve him, depend on him. Verse 15 through 68, that's a lot of verses. If you won't do it, there's a but. If you will not obey me, if you will not trust me, if you will not do what I've asked you to do, and he goes through all kinds of curses that would come upon them by turning away from God. And Deuteronomy 28 should be for us, it should have been for his people, a tremendous alerting to what's going to happen if they don't follow him. I think another passage, I think in Exodus 20, and where he gave the law, a verse there says that he will visit iniquity to 3 and 4 generations of them that hate me. You don't want that passed on. You don't want stuff in your life that's not right to be passed on down to your children. Break it, get out of it, do it right. But then he said, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and obey me. That's the heart of God. We deserve the curses of sin because we have fallen into sin through our first parents. The enemy has had a hold on our lives, but we break out of that iron furnace by the death of Jesus Christ, but who don't want to stay out in the wilderness and not experience the life of victory. And so God also His heart. Jesus came down and he explained God's heart to us, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave the ultimate. He gave his son to come here and be here and give his life for us, that whosoever would trust in him and believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. A bit further on that, 2 Peter in chapter 3, says 3:7, God is not willing that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's what God desires. And so Moses is instructing them to do that. But then he also gives them a warning. I want to give this one in Deuteronomy 4:9, where he says, God has blessed you in a special way. No nation is blessed to have a God like you and demonstrates his power. But he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Pass it on down the line. Beware. And in chapter 6, as Frank read this morning, after that, and I just want to go beyond that just a little bit. Well, I'll just tell what he says there. So pass the word on, but then he says, but be very careful. When you're in the land, they had all this time, they had to fight battles, but that was his rest. They had to recapture the land. But he warns them, when you are now in the land and you've eaten and are full and you settle down, beware that you don't forget the Lord. Then beware, this is verse 12 of 6. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and swear by him. Don't go after other gods. Watch out. And I guess I had this thought. I don't know how to say it, but God is a blesser. He loves to bless. But there's a danger in blessing. There are several of the kings of Judah. It says that God blessed him, and when he was strong, then his heart was lifted up in pride. He began to think, look what I've done. That's kind of because God has blessed us with free will to make choices, and it's an ongoing choice to follow him, to obey him, to fear him. And so if you change your choices and you decide, look, life's very easy now, and you sort of go after other things, he warns about that. Don't do that. And I've shared before, but I do want to share again, that all the days of Joshua and the elders that overlived Joshua, they served the Lord. But they're settling down in the land now. Things are going well. They have their crops and they can enjoy life, but they need to keep passing it on to their children. This is what it says in Judges chapter 2. I'll read here at verse 10. All that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the Lord the works which he hath done. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. What more could God do? He warned them and warned them, don't turn away. The key to blessing, the key to the victorious life, it's entrusting the Lord. It's following him. It's walking with him. Another generation grew up that turned away from the Lord. What didn't they do? And I guess what I think is they did not follow some of the word here that we need to remember that was read to us in chapter 6, the beginning here, how you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and then the importance on the word. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And I want to just say a word about that. It's important. Parents teach their children. Parents model to their children. But he said, first of all, be sure it's in your heart. Years ago when we started having little kids, somehow, I don't know it's what I heard or if God just put in my heart, you better live what you say. You better be true to what you are saying we should do, or it's going to turn them away from the Lord. It's got to be in your heart first, to be reality before you try to pass it on. Get it in your heart. And then he says, and these words, this is verse 6, which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Talk of them. It's one thing, okay, we're going to have a little devotional time and teach, but then talk of them. It's pretty interesting. He said, talk of them. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, it's not something that it's like, going to church and then you go home and don't talk about it. As things in the news pop up, as situations pop up, relate to the Word of God. Talk about the Word. And then he says, make it real in your life and in your home. I think it's wonderful to put things about that that we in this home, we live for the Lord. We use Joshua's words. Whatever it takes to let the generations after you know how important it is, tell what he's done. That was another thing that Moses is saying they needed to do. Tell what they experienced. You walked across the Red Sea and God parted the waters, and then he drowned our enemies behind us. Tell your children when they start growing up what God has done. And pass on the faith. And that's one of the big things that I see coming out of out of the words in Deuteronomy. Be true to God, walk in fear of him, obey him, but pass it on to your children. So there will not be a generation that grows up and doesn't know the Lord. I just have to think about what happened. They took the land, they now were given, Joshua give them their this part belongs to you, and this part belongs to you, and the different tribes. And then they had ease, more ease. And they evidently failed to pass on like they should. I want to share from what the psalmist said in Psalm 78 about that matter of passing on the faith. And I believe, you know, if you don't have children, you have influence of family, influence over people, and the same thing works. Psalm 78:3, he says, the things that have happened and the things that we have seen the Lord do, we will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength of his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children that should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So I just share again this morning the heart of God. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me always and keep my commandments, that it might be well with them. God wants that. And with their children forever. Before we close, I want to just say a word about there's the teaching, but there's also the prayer and pray into your future. But I'm changing that last hymn to the chorus, Keep Me True, and they'll sing that on 519. But the more I think about, I've been thinking about this matter of God's keeping power. The Apostle Paul, he indicates that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, I'm not ashamed of whom I believed. And he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until against that day. That there is a worshipful thing in committing things that you really care about for God to keep, to commit them into his keeping power. And I've shared this before, but I relate that to Jesus' prayer in John 17. It's really a keeping prayer, where he said, Father, I've kept them, my own, my disciples and my people here while I've been with them. And he knows he's going on home to heaven. I pray that you keep them. Keep them one. Keep them from the evil. Sanctify them by your word. Keep them following you. And so I think there's a wise prayer before God. Keep me. Keep me from wandering off. Keep me loving you and serving you as I should. Those are choices we make along the line. Keep those children, keep our generations, Lord, following you. Paul again, he said, I am persuaded God is able to keep that which is committed to him. Let's do it. Father, I thank you for the testimony. I thank you for your word coming through, much of it through Moses, some of it just they heard directly. He wants you to have this, you want us to have that kind of heart, to follow you always and not turn away and to pass it on. And so, Father, I thank you today for each brother and sister in Christ here, that you would in a special way strengthen us to walk with you, to fear you, to do what you ask us to do, to trust you so that it might be well with us. And that when things are well with us, Lord, that we don't turn away, that we're not deceived and beguiled into thinking somehow, look what I've done. So, Father, we thank you for your heart. Thank you for your heart, for our lives, for those that are after us. And we just ask you in a special way, keep us where we need to be, Lord, in our relationship to you, in Jesus' name, amen. If you would, could we stand together, 519, I think you know it. I want us to just a little chorus, and could we sing it twice as we close? Keep me true, Lord Jesus. 519. Thank you, Father, for your ability to do that. Watch over our hearts. Thank you for your heart. May we have a heart like your heart. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.